Very good morning to you all, and how nice to see you again this morning. We continue to respect the laws of the land, but we try as much as possible to worship God freely. So this morning, if you would like to say the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, please do. We should be able to do that without problems. As we come to worship this morning, we want to remember with thanksgiving the life of one of our church members, Ella Scott, who passed away sadly last week. Ella was in her 90s when she died. The burial will take place next week. So let us remember her in our prayers and ask God to be kind to her. We are assembled here in God's name and God's presence to meet with him in our midst in his holy word. We've come together despite the challenges that we all face so that we can worship God and bring our worries to him, because he himself says through Jesus Christ, "All ye who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." So it is for that rest that we all seek that we come together. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. And our Psalm 4 call to worship is Psalm 119, 1 to 16. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, as we meditate on those words, not being able to sing out, "Immortal, invisible God, only wise." Thank you. Let us pray. Faithful God, we awaken ourselves to your presence as we awaken to our discovery of who we have become. We know we were created in your image, that you have a history of bringing us out of slavery and into freedom, and we long to find that freedom today. We know you as the great restorer, able to transform all injustice into the kingdom of heaven on earth, and we open ourselves to be part of your future that is coming. Loving and amazing God, your constant relationship of love and faithfulness is one which sustains us through all things. Your stories speak to us, transcending time and place, meeting us even in this place. We give you thanks for the choice to let go of who we have thought ourselves to be and become a runner in your race with the experience of the love of Christ as our only goal. We give thanks too that you call us again and again to be your people, that you love us and want us to live together in fullness of community and life, that you send people, prophets, and Jesus to show us your love. In turn, send us as your people and prophets, and as Christ to those who need to meet you. We give thanks that you want us to be part of the harvest, in the gathering of it and the sharing, so that we might learn more of what it is to be like you. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, the walls are coming down around us. The wild animals ravage our harvest. The rains came and flooded. The mountains blocked out the sun and nothing could grow. We hold you to account, God, for the things that do not go to plan. We blame you. We are angry. We see you stopping justice from being served. For we know you could do it better. We know that you could make it perfect. And so who else to rage at but you? And it is in this moment of honesty that we find ourselves and our part in the story, the things we stayed quiet about, the things we accepted as being okay, when deep down we know they are not. The times we served ourselves first so that there wasn't enough to go round. We ask for your restoration, for you to make your face shine upon us, that having released our anger and blame, we discover the tools for planting again, the hope for our future becoming our vision, that together we can be your people again. We ask all this as we bring our thoughts together in the words our Savior gave us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." As the deer pants for the water, thank you.
This morning's first lesson can be found from the book of Amos in chapter 5, reading from verses 4 to 6 and then verses 21 to 27. Amos 5, 4 to 6. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. From verse 21, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The next reading is from Romans chapter 14, reading from verse 1 to 11. Romans 14, 1 to 11. The weak and the strong. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Amen. And may the Lord add his thanks to these readings of his holy word.
God's name be praised. And next hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Thank you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Don't judge others wrongly. Accept people as they are. Jessica Nicholas, in what she calls a user-friendly guide to biblical justice and righteousness, has remarked that God's personal, passionate concern for justice and righteousness was the starting place for his people to build them into every part of their culture. The place we should all live from is justice and righteousness, she goes on. Everything we do, from the way we raise our families, to the way we run our businesses, to our own relationships with the vulnerable, should reflect justice and righteousness. And being just, or justice and righteousness, also means being fair and considerate in the ways we regard each other or even judge one another, both in essential and non-essential matters of life and faith. But our judgment of others is often inequitable or prejudiced, partly because we do not take time to investigate why they are doing what they are doing, or whether they are really doing what we think they are doing. A traveler between flights at an airport bought a small package of cookies. Then she sat down and began reading a newspaper. Gradually, she became aware of a rustling noise. From behind her paper, she was flabbergasted to see a neatly dressed man helping himself to her cookies. Not wanting to make a scene, she leaned over and took a cookie herself. A minute or two passed, and then came more rustling. He was helping himself to another cookie. By this time, they had come to the end of the package. But she was so angry, she didn't dare allow herself to say anything. Then, as if to add insult to injury, the man broke the remaining cookie in two, pushed half across to her, ate the other half, and then left. Still fuming, sometime later when her flight was announced, the woman opened her handbag to get her ticket. To her shock and embarrassment, there she found her pack of unopened cookies. She had been eating the man's cookies, but thought it was the other way round, and so judged the man wrongly for eating her food without permission. This story does not really capture the problem we are dealing with in Romans 14. But it illustrates a general principle about the way we judge people and how our judgment of others can be imperfect or even misleading. The problem in Romans 14 was between weak and strong Christians and about what people were eating or not eating, or what days of the week were holy and which ones were not. But perhaps Romans 14 can best be summed up by the saying, don't judge your brother or sister on non-essential matters, because God will judge them. Judge yourself, because God will judge you. In Romans 14, after mentioning the issue of eating or not eating, Paul brings up a second matter at verse 5, where believers in Rome were wrongly judging one another concerning the observance of certain days as holy. Then, mentioning both issues, Paul deals with the motives behind those who do or do not do these known essential things. He assumes that they are doing or not doing them for the Lord. Whoever considers one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks. Then Paul explains that all believers are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. As Lord of all, he also will be judge of all, to whom each of us will give an account. Therefore, we are wrong to judge our brothers and sisters. Leave them alone. Who are we to judge them? Let them be. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. Now I know what some of you are thinking. Here is a ticket or scriptural justification to liberalism or liberal theology, the contemporary movement that seeks to interpret and reform Christian teaching by taking into consideration modern knowledge, science, and ethics. It also emphasizes the authority of individual reason and experience. And often, liberal Christians and theologians would be quite happy to stay with the superficial rendering of our text in Romans 14. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. In other words, let everyone do what they want to do and live the way they want to live and enjoy themselves. We don't need to judge them, liberal theologians would say or argue. Friends, I wonder whether you know Christian people who behave like that, who deliberately do things that are sinful or unhelpful and defend their actions with the words of Scripture and tell you to leave them alone. They argue that the Bible says don't judge because judgment belongs only to God. Is it really true that we should not judge people at all? Well, friends, Paul is not condemning all judgment in this passage. He is dealing with the subject of judging others on known essential matters where the Bible gives no commands. I say so because on all essential matters, Paul himself judged the actions of people who were in error. One of the evidences is in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul corrected the Corinthians because they did not condemn a man who was living in sin. I am told that a man is sleeping with his stepmother, says Paul. How then can you be proud? On the contrary, you should be filled with sadness, and a man who has done such a thing should be expelled from your fellowship. That was judgment. And it was judgment on one who had clearly done something terrible in the eyes of God. And again, Paul was not tolerant of the damnable doctrinal error of the Judaizers in Galatia. In Galatians 1:6-9, Paul says, I am surprised at you. In no time at all, you are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and accepting another gospel. Actually, there is no other gospel. But I say this because there are some people who are upsetting you and trying to change the gospel of Christ. And in his final instructions in Romans 16, 17 to 18, the apostle urges his hearers to watch out for those who cause divisions and upset people's faith and go against the teaching which they have received. Keep away from them. For those who do such things are not serving Christ our Lord, but their own appetites. By their fine words and flattering speech, they deceive innocent people. Friend, would you say then that Paul is contradicting himself in making all those judgments on people's behaviors after telling us in Romans 14 that we should accept people the way they are and not judge them, especially those whose faith is weak? No, Paul is not contradicting himself at all, but making a distinction between the essential and non-essential things of faith. And we need to call people to repentance when need be and help them to come back to the way of Christ if they go astray. However, there are many other secondary areas where we must be gracious and tolerant with those who differ with us, especially those non-essential matters where the Bible gives no specific commands. This is what Paul brings up in Romans 14, verse 5. The matter of one person regarding one day above another, whereas another regards every day as the same. Then he adds, each person must be fully convinced in his or her own mind. Paul never would have said such a thing as if he had been talking about clear moral commands or essential doctrines of Scripture. For example, can you imagine Paul saying, one person thinks that to have sexual relations outside of marriage is a sin, whereas others don't have a problem with that. Each person must be fully convinced in his or her own mind. Or do you think Paul would have said, some say that we are justified by grace through faith alone, whereas others say that we must add our good works, each person must be fully convinced in his or her mind? Or do you think Paul would have said that one person thinks a man can become a woman tomorrow and then change back to a man the next year? Hardly, because by playing with God's creation like that, we would be going against an essential moral law, because what God has created, no culture should negotiate. What I learned from this text is that on moral issues, where the Bible gives clear commands or on essential doctrinal truth, we would be wrong not to judge others. But to spend our time judging others on known essential matters instead of concentrating on issues of justice and righteousness, we would be escaping from responsibility and shying away from issues of righteousness. We cannot come to God with our gifts and worship and time and talents, while at the same time we perpetrate acts of unrighteousness and violence and injustice. We cannot ignore the actions that damage society and our homes and communities and claim to be faithful Christians because we attend church every week. That would mean concentrating on the non-essential things while ignoring the more serious things that can build community and our homes and bring us to our eternal destiny in heaven. You know what the prophet Amos said to the unfaithful people in his day? I hate your religious festivals. I cannot stand them. When you bring me burnt offerings, I will not accept them. I will not accept the animals you have fattened to bring to me as offerings. Stop your noisy songs. I do not want to listen to your harps. Instead, let justice flow like a stream and righteousness like a river that never goes dry. Let me finish with a quote from John Stott, that evangelical preacher, great preacher who died in 2011. In his book, Authentic Christianity, he helpfully encourages us that we need to repent of the haughty way in which we sometimes stand in judgment upon Scripture and must learn to sit humbly under its judgments instead. If we come to Scripture with our minds made up, expecting to hear from it only an echo of our own thoughts and never the thunderclap of God's, then indeed he will not speak to us, and we shall only be confirmed in our own prejudices. We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and our behaviors. The prophet Amos says, "Away with your noisy hymns of praise. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, you are a merciful and a gracious God. And we thank you, O Father, that we can learn at the feet of Jesus Christ, who is our great teacher, and the apostles who learned directly from him. Thank you for your word this morning and for teaching us that lesson about judgment. Help us, O Father, to be considerate and fair when we judge our own actions and the actions of others, especially the things that do not bring glory to your Most High name. Let your name be glorified in our lives now and forevermore. Amen. Our next theme, Beauty for Brokenness. Let us pray. Let us dedicate ourselves, our offering, and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts of life that we enjoy, which you have freely given to us. And what we bring to you in terms of money is only part of what you have blessed us with. Take it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth and for the blessing of those who do not have. Most merciful and ever-living Father, as we come to you in worship this morning, we come with our individual and collective challenges. We pray for each one of us who are in this place this morning. Whatever may be our particular challenge, we bring it to you. Take our burdens away from us and give us the peace which only you can give. Merciful God, our Father, when it is our walls coming down and we see our family under attack, when we see the hope of harvest crumbling before us, may your presence be revealed. When it is the walls of others that are crumbling, when the family under attack are our neighbors, when we have enough but they do not, may your justice be stirred within us. When we are tearing down the walls, when we are attacking our neighbors, when we are taking what is not ours, may your mercy be upon us. When we have a choice to restore the walls, when we have room for others, when harvest will feed everyone, may Christ's light shine from our hearts. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we want to pray now for those who have asked us to pray for them for whatever reason, as we do so in the silence of our hearts. We remember before you, O God, all those who are unwell or who are sick at this time. As we name the ones that we know in our hearts. We want to pray again for the world's situation, for the COVID-19 pandemic, and for the rate at which it is increasing, those who are getting the virus. We pray, O merciful Father, for the scientists and medical practitioners who are working so hard to find a cure, to find a vaccine, that, Father, you would bless their efforts, and that in not too long from now, O Father, they would come out with results that would be helpful in curbing this crisis. We want to pray for the American president, Donald Trump, who is currently undergoing treatment from the virus. We use him as a contact point for many others all over the world who are ill, that you will grant them healing and wholeness. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers to you because we know that you are always ready to answer us more than we are ready to pray. And so answer us as we pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please, if you are able, rise and let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, All Glory, Lord and Honor. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.